The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Critical Hit 'Em Hater Spoilers Podcast. Hey, everyone, it's Steven Schleicher. Thank you for joining me once again. Hey, this week, instead of just me hearing my ramblings before we get into the actual gameplay, Matthew is here.
Ramble, ramble, ramble.
And Sam is here as well.
Yes.
So I brought Sam and Matthew on because I should put a little warning here. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you need to that first before you listen to this. I'm going to give you a count of three. Three, two, one. Spoilers in full effect. So we found out a lot about Sakaar last week. And Secret. Sam, apparently you had this figured out like 3 months ago, which would have been for our listeners 6 months ago, probably.
Probably longer, yeah.
Follow us down the path, Sam, of all the clues that led to your discovery before everyone else did.
Well, I mean, I was primed because Rodrigo wouldn't let us see Sakaar's sheet, so I knew something weird was going on with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first clue was pretty early on, like I want to say maybe like two or three episodes in with Sakaar when he mentioned having low light vision, which humans do not have. But for all other intents and purposes, he appeared to be a human. So that kind of narrows the list down. And since he was clearly using warden powers, I knew it wasn't his class that was super mysterious, so I figured it had to be his race. And so then I kind of wound up on a little treasure hunt to try to figure out what his deal was.
Did you go through like every like non-human warden character in the D&D 4th edition? Or what else helped narrow that down some more?
Well, mostly it was I actually didn't even look into like forums or books or anything until I was pretty sure that I figured it out on my own, because I was like, well, he's not human. And I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head that would really make sense immediately. So I was like, well, whatever, we'll get there. And then we got to the Dream Quill episode where they were giving interesting little prophetic insights into each of our characters.
Mm-hmm.
And his mentioned being like a shadow of a shadow. And I was like, well, that sounds like he's undead. That just immediately jumped out to me. And so that left in my mind two major undead like human races, which were Revenant, which are things that have come back to life through some fashion but are still somewhat death tainted. And what I thought of initially was Dampier, which is, you know, the World of Darkness name for kind of part human, part vampire, and for that matter, the Pathfinder name for that, though apparently not in D&D. They have a different name for that called Veracula. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce that race. Reloka. Which isn't a race I'd even heard of because I largely stopped playing 4th Ed before Heroes of Shadow came out, before Rodrigo kind of pulled me back in with Critical Hit. But then when I was, after the Dream Quill thing, I was like, all right, he's definitely undead tainted. And then I was super sure when he was started having those weird invisibility attacks.
Mm-hmm.
When the wise woman was like, oh, you're a predator. I was like, you know what he hasn't been able to do for like 4 months while we were on a boat is kill anyone. And so I was like, well, apparently he's having some issues because of that. And I still was thought maybe it could be like Revenant. Maybe it could be a vampire sort of thing. I think that's when I started calling you El Chupacabra, though, because, you killed that goat. And at some point we had like a post show discussion on Sakaar's race when I think mm-hmm. it was that episode that Rodrigo chided me for calling him a chupacabra on the air. And I was like, well, you're clearly something undead. And you pointed out, like, because of the attacks. And you're like, well, I wouldn't be drawing attention to something that I wanted to hide. I would be subtle. And I thought about, well, when has Sakaar been subtle? And that led me to the times he bluffs.
Right.
And how sometimes his bluff check seemed unusually high. And then I was like, and then, you know, he was always asking Rodrigo, can I use this now? I was like, well,
what is it situational? Yeah,
exactly. So it clearly was situational. I was like, well, what could be situational? And then I was like, well, there are certain races that can pass for human and get bonuses to bluff for passing for human. And then I was like, all right, well, now I just, and then I decided to just go look it up. And then I found Veracula and I was like, all right, that's it. I know.
Cool. That is pretty, that's some pretty smart thinking there, Sam. You are the game master, I think, when it comes to figuring this out. So good job on that.
Thank you. Anyone who's gamed with me for a while knows that I love this sort of kind of like clue puzzle hunting.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like an annoyance, I think, for some people who run for me, who have to like figure out how to like get me to make the conclusions at the right time, as opposed to before they want to make their big reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Matthew,
I don't even remember where the low light vision came into play.
I think it was literally, I think, one of the first couple of episodes, because Rodrigo had asked for a low light vision check or something.
Yeah. And Mirandis couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm guessing like we were stealthing or something and it was dark and I was like, I'm good.
Sneaky stealthy. You got them bird eyes with the bird.
Yeah.
So Matthew, how hard was it for you to be quiet this entire time?
It wasn't really particularly difficult because of the character concept. I don't know, you know, it's right now it's still in flux too. So, you know, it's one of those things where some things were really easy, some things were hard. Tried really hard to make sure that there was something in every play session that if you were really looking or listening, you might be able to work into. But I've discovered that my hints aren't hints for everybody else. Sometimes my hints are actually things that people are like, well, that's annoying, I don't even care. So I think that may have been a factor as well.
So your hints are for annoying purposes? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that my hints sometimes end up being ridiculously, maddeningly vague.
Give us an example, if you have one.
I don't want to.
Okay, because that way people can go back and I didn't know if you had one, so people could go back and listen and say, oh, okay.
I have a couple, but I don't, without Rodrigo present, feel comfortable going over them. But if someone were to see one and say, hey, is this an example of X, hit me at Mighty King Cobra, I might be able to tell you yay or nay.
Hmm. Well, it's kind of in the past now. So right. I don't know if it would be that big of a deal. Now,
oh, they'll get there.
One of the things that
people on their fourth listen through.
Oh, yeah. Now, we did say that as soon as your character was revealed, we would reveal the character sheets, except we're not going to do that right now for the listeners. We will. I promise. We're a few weeks away from going up to the next level. And since I don't have the current level 18 character sheet for Sakaar, right. I do have the level 19 character sheet now that it's been revealed. Then I will get that out to everyone in a couple of weeks as soon as we hit level 19, which is coming up really, really, really quick. So, it's just going to be a couple of weeks away. So hang tight on that and we'll put it up on the VIP site or the Patreon site. If you want to support us, patreon.com/majorspoilers, you can get access to it there. I also want to dive into the mailbag because we do get some emails come in and I thought we might as well add those to the pre-show so that we're not wasting a whole episode on just mailbag stuff. Here we go from Ryan, who says, hello, Critical Hitters and Brian. I found your podcast on Podcast Addict. I'm currently on episode 213, Into the Canyon. Out of all the episodes, this is the one where I heard Steven get really mad about getting beat up early in the fight. I forget what this was last season, Sam, so you weren't in that. I don't know if you'd listened to it, but I was getting frustrated because every roll I was rolling was for crap. And I was getting the crap kicked out of me during the entire time and got a little salty. At one point, I rolled the dice really hard and it hit the figures. And Rodrigo thought that I had hit the figures on purpose with my die. That wasn't the case.
The Canyon, wasn't that the first Animal Allies episode?
It might have been. I don't remember.
I think it is, because I think that's where people kept hitting Blake Jackal with everything in the
well,
book.
No, because it was Orym. It was Orym's character. But I'm looking at some of the pictures right now. I don't remember this. But anyway, he says, this makes me ask this question, which I don't believe has been asked before. Have any of you been a part of a game where you have had another player get so frustrated to cause a scene? And if so, what happened?
Oh, God, that happens. Well, not all the time, thankfully. But it happens I would say that if you were to look at it in Magic the Gathering terms, it's an uncommon but not a rare. People get mad all the time. At one point, we were playing the Star Wars RPG, and I was playing a homebrewed race, and I was playing a character who had abilities herself that were not Force-related abilities. And the Dungeon Master kind of had a little crush on me, so he let me get away with stuff that I really probably shouldn't have. And we actually had a point in the game where we were doing something, and he decided that a particular thing would work based on the way the character was set up. And we actually had somebody get mad and leave the table because he was like, this shouldn't work. This character doesn't have Force abilities. This is bad and stupid and dumb and wrong. And I don't necessarily blame them. I mean, we've all had that moment. We've all been the frustrated person, I think. Maybe not Samantha. Sam's kind of... You ever been the mad one?
Oh, yeah. I would say mostly in something like Vampire LARP, where the game is kind of competitive. Right. So you can get like really upset at other people. I've done a lot of yelling in character and probably some like being upset out of character, too. But yeah, I mean, I think that situations like what led into this, where there's like high stress on the whole party, is what's most conducive to it. Like, I've definitely gotten salty and upset when, say, like the fight is going really bad and I don't see how we can win and the dice rolls are just like crap. And yeah, and like I can't figure out the best action, or I feel like I made a mistake three rounds ago that's gonna cost the fight.
And the fly men keep attacking and we can't get to the switch. Mm-hmm. But the stupid fly men keep attacking.
Well, you know, in Critical Hit, in the main game that we play on this podcast, there have been times where players have gotten very, very upset over something that was said or something that was done or whatever. You don't hear that because it's not relevant or part of the story. But in times where one of us has gotten that upset, you know, Rodrigo stops the game. Everybody talks about it. Everybody calms down. And then when we're ready to resume, we resume. And I think, both of you have run games. I think that's pretty much how it goes a lot of times. Have any of you been involved in a situation where someone's outrage has led to the total falling apart of the game, to where you no longer gamed with those people?
Yeah. There's different levels. I've had something go bad to where it ended the game session. Mm. We had one go bad enough to where it ended that entire like campaign. And yeah, we have had situations in the past where we've had people get so frustrated that they say they can't play anymore. And, you know, one friend of mine who I consider to be a really good friend, and I feel really bad about this, got so frustrated with me that he didn't want to game with us anymore. And, you know, I can't blame him. I can't come back at him and say, no, I was not being a total jerk face and I'm real sorry. And we haven't, you know. Other than Critical Hit, I haven't actually played any other games in about 3 or 4 years. So we've never had a chance to come back and say, look, I cannot be a douchebag. But yeah, I think that is a common thing that happens. But I love the fact that Rodrigo insists that we address it. He doesn't let things fester. You can't let these things, interpersonal stuff, fester. And Steven and I have been working together at Major Spoilers for a decade now. And what would you say, about every 18 months we have a big blowout fight?
I wouldn't say it's a blowout fight, more like a hissy fit.
Right. And one then, or the other of
and
us
then Matthew
really
hangs
irritated.
Up, and then Matthew hangs up the Skype, and then 10 minutes later I call him back, and then we work it out. So
yeah. And that does happen. And it's something that kind of frustration in close quarters is almost unavoidable, especially when you have more than two or three people. I mean, four people is six interactions. Five people is, I think, 10. So each of us has the things that we do, and we bounce off of each other and we bounce off of Rodrigo. And yeah, there are times where in game you're going to get frustrated. And I think one of the things that makes Rodrigo the really, really impressive, amazing game master that he is that he will address that when it comes to the point that it affects the game.
Right. And I know that there are some groups that are not inclusive, and that causes turmoil and arguments inside. And we've talked about those many, many, many times on this show. So you can go back to some previous mailbags where we've talked about that. Ryan goes on to talk about a time when someone was actually injured during the game. They were saying they were playing, and one of the players had a surgery on his knee that required screws and plates. A screw came loose, and the plate shifted, causing what I could assume to be excruciating pain to this day. The only game we've ever been a part of that I know of where the person was injured while role-playing, he required another surgery. Has anything like this ever happened in any of your groups? I know it's a stretch, but I'm interested to hear if it has, and if not, I hope you get a kick out of it. Has anybody been injured?
I mean, I was in a buffer lark where I saw someone get injured. It wasn't I didn't get injured, but someone, like, you know, it's a lot easier to do in a LARP setting when people are moving around and in some cases swinging foam weapons at each other.
Yeah, someone has a foam ball that's filled with bolts or something and throws them as a weapon. Yeah, I can see somebody getting hurt like that.
Yeah, in this case, she was lying on the ground because she'd been, like, attacked by a zombie and was waiting for a medic to come help her, and then someone tripped over her and fell on top of her. So that was kind of rough. But no physical injuries in, like, a tabletop setting, as far as I know.
And as far as, you know, critical hit, now last week's episode, the one that you guys listened to, very little of that was edited out. I mean, there was only a couple of minutes, well, maybe only 30 seconds or so edited out of last week's episode. But it was short last week because right in the middle of the episode, my wife called and her car had broken down. So we had to stop game and go take care of that. We have had to cancel Major Spoilers podcast recordings because of tornadoes. And finally, Friday has been canceled because of a tornado warning once. But I don't think anyone's been injured.
One of the groups that I orbited before deciding it was not for me in late college was a LARP group where one of the guys used a, I think they call it a Singapore cane in wrestling, where he had basically a practice sword made of bamboo.
The bamboo swords,
And in a LARP setting, basically he got overzealous and he bonked somebody right in the eye. And it was one of those things. Yeah. And from that point forward, your weapon was a card that said weapon on it.
Yeah.
Because it's all fun and games till Tyler loses an eye. He didn't actually lose it. It was right there. I mean, it was clearly hanging down his face. And no, none of that is true. He got hit in the eye. He got a black eye. It hurt. The game group was like, we're going to change the rules. And I'm like, great. While we're doing that, I'm just going to go.
All right. There you go, Ryan. There's answers to your questions. And Matthew and Sam, thank you for taking the time to explain your detective work, Sam. I think I want to have you on a detective game.
I'd love that.
Actually, we have if you're ever coming back to Hayes, apparently we are having one of those locked room places open up here pretty soon.
Oh, nice. We've got a few of those in the Chicago area.
I would bet that you blow through those.
They have those in Lawrence, even. It could be like a group activity. It could be. Bonding.
Yeah, it could be.
I've done two of those, and they're quite tough because, riddles are a whole different thing. And a lot of times, those rooms tend to have a lot of different types of puzzles, like, you know, your math puzzles or like kinetic puzzles. And I'm not necessarily the best at those.
All right. Well, we will see in the future.
That's what I'm there for.
All right. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Sam. We'll get right into the game right after this message from our sponsor this week. Today's show is being brought to you by HelloFresh. Visit HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code CriticalHit and save $35 off your first week of deliveries. Now listen, you've got game friends coming over. You've got to serve four people food. Or maybe you've got to serve a family of four some food. Or maybe it's just you and your significant other and you want to cook a healthy meal for them. But man, coming home from work every day, such a drag because you're worn out. You don't know what to cook. You don't know what to do. That's where HelloFresh comes in. They have classic box. They have veggie boxes. They have a family box. You can order 3, 4, or 5 different meals per week. They're designed for 2 to 4 people. They have new recipes every week. And I tell you what, The recipes are fantastic. We had HelloFresh delivered this week, and we had a fish meal. It was really good. We had a Vietnamese steak. Fantastic. My wife loved the Vietnamese steak. Like 2 days later, she was like, I wonder if we could get some more Vietnamese steak again anytime soon. It's delicious. And then we also had a chicken recipe. Forget that one. What that one was, is like a curry chicken. So, so delicious. Now, here's the way that this works. HelloFresh is a meal kit that is delivered directly to your door, is delivered to your door in an insulated box, so everything is still fresh when it gets there. I'm guessing because HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients, that everything in this box was probably not that old. And it was so good, too. Here's the other thing. When it comes time for me to cook, HelloFresh has all of the ingredients that you're going to need measured to exact quantities inside specially prepared boxes. So for the fish meal, for example, it says, hey, here's your fish meal. Inside were all of the ingredients that were necessary. If you needed rice wine, there was rice wine. If you need salt, there was salt. There was pepper, there was pepper. There was a lime. There was some other stuff that you need to put in there. I think it said one celery stalk. And sure enough, there was one celery stalk. And then you just chop up. And this is what's really cool. Because they employ, HelloFresh employs a full-time registered dietitian who reviews each recipe. You ensure that it's nutritionally balanced, so everybody has an equal portion, and there's no food waste. Again, if you need one celery stick, they're going to send you one celery stick. You need one tomato? One tomato. It's all right in there. It makes cooking so easy. And here's the thing. These meals only take about 30 minutes to cook from beginning to end, and anyone from novice to seasoned home cook can cook these meals in a short amount of time. In fact, the first day that we were doing HelloFresh, my youngest son, I had him help me, and I said, hey, buddy, here's what you need to do. Let's go wash our vegetables. Let's do this, and let's follow the steps. And he's young, but he's learning to read, and so he could read the instructions, and we knew exactly what to do, and the meal came out perfectly. Thank you, HelloFresh. Listeners, I want you to have this same experience that my family had, and you can by going to HelloFresh.com, enter the coupon code CRITICALHIT, save $35 off your first week delivery. You can sign up for however many meals you want per week, 3, 4, 5 different meals per week. You can set it up for 2 to 4 people. Maybe it's just you. Get that two-person setup. Get 3 of them, and you will have food for the entire week. It's that good. That's right. Head over to HelloFresh.com. Enter the coupon code CRITICALHIT at checkout to save $35 off your first week of deliveries. Thank you, HelloFresh, for delivering delicious meals each and every time. And now, let's get into the story portion of our show. Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and sharing this episode with a friend. We've got 2/3 of the party back. I wonder what the other third is doing in this grand adventure. Rodrigo, you've been telling us such a great tale. Why don't we continue and see what happens next?
Okay. So, last time...
Oh, Sakaar's a vampire. Critical hit!
Oh, sorry.
He doesn't bury the lead.
Way to keep a secret, man.
So, congratulations to the person who may have figured it out. And now, let the fan art commence.
On Critical Hit!
There we go.
So, right, yes, Sakaar, Orym, Little Sparkle, and the Queen's Rebellious Daughter, and Maba had all met up in the shanties.
So, what happened to you guys?
We woke up and wandered around a bit until we found Plug, which is a little town down in the sewers, apparently. So it must be relatively new. I'd never heard of it before. And then someone there showed us the way to get out into the shanties. Then I cast sending to try to figure out where you all were. And I reached out to Teach, who said he'd be coming here to help us get out of here.
Oh, good.
Mm. With transportation?
I don't know, transportation, something like change of clothes, I'm not really sure. Okay. I mean, I guess we could do that with illusions, but considering that the Coil seems to have some good anti-illusion magic and that we're probably at the top of their most wanted list, I wouldn't necessarily trust into that at the moment.
Do you think they have detailed descriptions of us?
It's a really good question. I mean, we killed most of the people we encountered, but we didn't kill the people, say, at the checkpoints, but then again, we were disguised. So it's tricky, but possible.
Also, they might just think you're all dead. We did blow up pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
How did we survive that, do you think?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember I gave you those things to secure you to the...
Oh, right.
To the rocket? Yeah, those wouldn't secure you at all. They were actually just temporary force fields because I was counting on us getting blown up.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just figured if I told you, you wouldn't go along with it.
I guess it worked.
I always trust you.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
So is your organization going to be looking for you? Or have you already contacted them?
Something tells me I'm going to hear from them pretty soon.
Mm. Well.
But we'll get to that.
Okay. So nothing interesting happened while we were away?
Not to us. We've just been hanging out here on these crates.
Mm. Mm. Yep. Pretty much.
You guys spot Randus and Ket with an old lady coming down the mountain.
Oh, here they come.
You wave them over.
Nonchalantly.
Exactly. Fly casual.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Randus.
Hey.
Hello, Ket.
Hi.
What happened to you guys?
I'm guessing something similar that happened to you.
You wandered around the sewer and met a bunch of sewer kind?
No. We did. I forgot what the truant's name was.
Bright Fire.
We met the Bright Fire after almost getting eaten by crocogators.
Wow.
Not crocogators. They aren't really crocogators. They're
lizards. They were more like lizards, like monitors.
That sounds intense. Are you okay, Randus?
Yeah.
Okay.
How large were these lizards?
Eat either of us in one bite large?
I'd like to see those.
Well, if you ever do, you can come back to the Gurgle.
Mm-hmm. The Gurgle?
The lizard monsters are super common down there.
Mm. It's a flooded district.
I see. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting that, like, the sewers look like they don't belong here.
Mm.
What do you mean?
It's like something was built on top of it that's not the same as what's underneath.
I mean,
I noticed the designs of the sewer system are a lot different than the designs up top.
He's correct. They're architecturally dissimilar to the point
it's a super old city. Styles change over time.
This was supposed to be the crowning achievement of the Mawakali.
The what but, now?
Well, the Mawakali. It's a people. I'm Mawakali. You know, I don't know. Where are you from?
Not here.
Coldport?
Yeah. So it's like being a Coldportian.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're a new Mawakal. Rob's brain just caught up to the conversation.
Welcome to Critical Hit. It's okay, Rob. We all have those moments. Some of us more than others.
Cold Porter,
right? Great, because you can just see like all of Rob's stats just like loaded into his RAM. Had like catch sheet in front of his face without actually looking at it. Now, which is good.
His charging bar finally hit 100, and his eyes lit up.
Yep.
He made his knowledge local check.
Yes. Yep.
It's okay.
I was hearing the words, listening to everything.
You got blown up real good a couple episodes ago, so
you did float through a gurgle after all.
Those lizard things didn't really taste all that bad.
Oh, you gotta eat one?
Yeah.
What does it taste like?
Aquatic chicken?
No. We've got those in the Feywild, you know. Has your grandma ever told you about those?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Not that I remember.
Yeah. They make this weird sound. Whack.
Those are ducks.
No, those are called aquatic chickens.
That's a duck.
That's gentlemen.
Well, maybe
gentlemen.
That's what you call them here, but in the Feywild, we call them aquatic chickens.
Let's
does everything have to be as complicated in the Feywild?
Like, yeah. I'm just going to write this note. It's like, if anybody ever ends up in the Feywild, they're going to meet like a 17-foot tall chicken that quacks.
Start working on that voice now. Yeah.
Go nasal. Nasal sounds like a duck.
We got to get out of here. We're setting aquatic chickens.
maybe. What is wrong with you?
If it works for Luke Skywalker, it works for Orym.
Which explains why whenever we're in combat, Torque would say, "I duck," and
right.
would like aquatic chicken.
Yeah.
Under his breath. It's been happening for 350 episodes, and nobody got it until now. How weird is that? Now go back and listen, folks. Listen to every episode and click on all the ads and tell us. And the winner wins a picture of the Osborne.
I'm serious too. Call you back again.
All right, everybody good?
I'm good.
Maybe?
Yes. Yes.
I'm standing pate.
Just give me a couple seconds.
All right, so yep, I believe you guys were talking about what you did in your summer vacation, by mm-hmm. which I mean in your getting blown up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we met Bright Fire here, who helped us find the way here.
That's great. Thank you for helping them.
Oh, no problem. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to take off. I'm a little old for this stuff, so okay. I figure I managed to not get blown up by the coil so far. I'd rather not get back into it.
Yeah, then you probably should stay away from us.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Is there anything we can do for you, though?
Well, if you do manage to take the coil down a peg, that'll be enough for me.
Okay. We'll try our best.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks again for the help and the hospitality.
No problem. Druin's got to look out for each other. All right. She walks away.
All right.
And coming down a different path, you guys see Big Teach. He's just kind of being held up because, like, people apparently know him out here.
Sure.
So he has to do a lot of, like, stopping and, like, nodding politely and, like, kind of just very gently shooing people away.
Sparkle will wave to him.
Okay. As he comes down, at first it looks like there's just like people are just randomly following him. But when he gets closer, you see that one of the followers that doesn't go away is actually Tekiotl.
Oh, wow. So she'll say, hey, I didn't expect to see you down in the Gurgle, Tekiotl.
In the shanties.
In the shanties.
Yeah. Big Teach just kind of tilts his head toward him a little bit. He's like, I found him in Murder Town, running around looking for you. So I figured I'd bring him.
Oh, sure. What were you looking for me for?
I was worried.
Oh. Well, we're not dead.
Well, that's good. I've got, I've got some information.
Oh, that, great. Yeah, what?
I don't know.
What,
there's a lot of people around here. Should we?
Yeah,
should we
be no, that's fair.
Here?
We should go somewhere. We should get out of here. How did you guys get in? And do you think it's safe for us to get out if we, say, disguise ourselves?
Probably. I don't think there's any need to go back into the city yet, though.
Okay.
We might as well just try to find a mountain path and find someplace quiet.
Sure. Sounds good. She'll, like, look to teach you, you know, somewhere good?
Yeah, I think I do.
Then we will follow you.
Right. She'll look pointedly at Maba. It's like, you coming with?
I am. At least until I'm told not to.
You're in communication with Joe, or are you waiting for one of us to tell you to go home?
No, I wouldn't listen to you.
All right, understood.
So, you guys start walking. You get a lot of, basically each of you at one point or another, get a, bird boy staring directly at you in a very awkward way up until you like look at him, at which point he'll like turn. And you all make your way.
He's the master of subtlety.
Yes. You all make your way out of the shanties and into a little kind of essentially a little pocket in the hill. Essentially, there's like a crag that sticks out for a good while, but it's a little too far away from the shanties and a little too steep. So you guys can essentially sit around there. You know, you can't really build anything on it, but it's large enough that you can sit around comfortably.
So,
take a seat.
Yeah. Do we need to light a fire or anything?
Yeah, you can.
All right. I will start a fire.
Okay.
Then I will go get some wood and throw it on the fire.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You look so proud of yourself. But
I'm helping. I hand out little bags of elven granola.
Thank you. No. Right.
If you cook it, I hear it tastes better.
Yeah.
I brought rations too, says Big Teach. I figured I didn't know what state you guys were going to be in.
Oh, thank goodness I gathered the bags up from
everybody. Anything's better than the elven granola.
Yeah. You get some dried fish and dried fruit.
Okay.
Mmm. Tasty.
Ooh, banana.
So, that,
that went poorly.
Yes.
That went about as expected.
Really? Because I thought we were going to actually make it all the way through once we got past the main gate.
That was my hope.
We didn't.
I knew it was going to be a long shot.
Really get past the main gate all that successfully.
I mean, we were in. Figure once you get into the building, why would they need even more security when they have all this stuff outside secure?
It's supposed to be the most secure building in the city, so it makes sense that they'd have all sorts of redundant levels. We just didn't have enough time because the rune was going to expire, and we got chased down out when we were doing the scouting. If we'd had proper paperwork, that might have helped. But then I screwed up big time in terms of not seeing that the fog was, there was a window behind it. And then with the alarm went off, I ruined our mission and yours. She looks at the Queen's Rebellious daughter.
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm sure we'll get another shot at it.
You think?
Hmm.
I mean, if you think about it,
mm-hmm.
If we did the same thing again, they wouldn't be expecting it so soon or in the exact same way.
Now, as we talked about it before, my guess is that they're going to feel the need to move him because right. We did make a lot of damage. And so the hope is that no reasonable transport can have as much security as the archive has. So if we can hit that, we probably have a better chance.
Yeah.
They're already moving him.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh. Where and when?
So this is how I messed up. And he like starts pulling out paperwork. They have been shipping parts to a location that is not in our records, and it took me until now, like an idiot, to realize that those parts were redundant with the parts that were coming to the Black Archive. So they have been, my guess is, somehow building a second machine somewhere else, somewhere that we don't know where.
A redundant system.
Mm. Yeah. Whatever Smart. Like has been building, they've been building a second one. My guess is like probably didn't even know about that. They've just been having people come in and copy the plans and somehow communicating them to this other facility.
Now, that makes sense, especially since you have a untrustworthy asset in Leck. They can be testing things to make sure he's not leading them along.
Mm-hmm. So wherever this is, it's got to be as far along, maybe a little bit farther behind that where Leck was. So we need to figure out where that is, I guess.
Is there any indication of even what tier of the city it's in?
Big Teach scratches his chin. I'm pretty sure it's not in the city. This is what I wanted to talk to you about, Sparkle, after you got back. I think I've heard reports come in of another place in the mountains that the Coil has been at least scouting. It sounds like they've maybe made more progress on it. Anyway, it came across my radar because it's fabled to be the cradle of the Mawakali, essentially Mawakal.
Mm.
Of course, the city's a legend. As far as anybody knows, New Mawakal has always been where the Mawakali are from. They just, you know, like many cultures, they have a mythical city that they believe is out there somewhere, but... perhaps the legends were not entirely false.
Mm.
Legends start somewhere.
No, they do.
Is there supposed to be some awesome lost Mawakali techno magic there?
No, not as far as I know. I think its largest asset is that it's hidden.
Mm.
So if it's a large, stable place where they can build something that nobody knows about, that would be my guess, would be what they were most interested in.
Well, if you have a lead on where this might be, then we should try to head there as soon as possible, and maybe we can rendezvous and cut them off on the pass.
Mm.
Yes, that does sound like a good idea. I don't suppose any of you are in contact with the elves. Certainly passing through the mountains would be a lot easier with their help.
Yeah, we met up with a tribe of them on our way here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. If you can get a message out to them, that would definitely make things easier.
Sure, she'll like look to Orym. Do you think you can cast a sending to Leandel?
I believe I can.
Great. Then, yeah, why don't we tell her that we're coming her way and that we're going to need help navigating?
Okay.
Oh, like Takeda looks around and is like, well, so just like that, you guys are just going to like set out and go get him?
Unless you've got any more information or any other leads here in the city, honestly, time's of the essence.
I mean, I've got some dossiers here, and he like passes them to Little Sparkle. Just things that I've found that might be useful that have been shipped in this direction. This is much farther south than New Mawakal, so.
She'll start flipping through them.
Yeah, I have some potential routes, but I guess we'll just have to see.
I mean, we could wait a bit, and if you want to, I am hesitant to lose any more time than we already have. How long were we out? Does anyone know?
I don't.
Oh, we were all knocked unconscious in the escape.
The report from, this is Tekioro again, the report from the Black Archive came maybe 6 hours ago. So that's, it would have to be less than that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Oh, they just sent out a very cryptic security briefing that all staff was to stay away from the archive. It was just strictly for the external staff.
Mm.
But then they started moving troops towards it, so everybody kind of knew that something was happening.
Well, certainly don't blame yourself for not noticing this. I had absolutely no idea, and your maps and ideas of where the that water tank are were the only thing that got us in there in the first place.
Well, I just want to help. I think, you know, things have gotten pretty bad, and I don't want to watch anyone else get hurt.
I really appreciate that. Are you safe? Do you think that they know what you did?
No, I don't think so. I was at work. They, you know, I had security guys walk to me and talk to me about if I knew anything, and I don't think they know.
Good.
I also checked in on your dad. He seems to be fine. I don't think anybody necessarily knew
that it was me.
Yeah. So. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Just, you know, just trying my best.
It's, you're doing good.
So when do you want to leave, like right now, or do we need to rest a little bit? Probably. Would be a good idea.
It certainly couldn't hurt.
Maybe we need to talk through a plan, talk about things.
We should send in to the elves and see, make sure that they are in a state in which they can help us and see if they have any advice on it, how to go, or even if they know anything about this city, they might have been seeing traces of these shipments going through. Mm-hmm. We can kind of create a plan from there.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, the person who brought you back from where you were at, what was her name?
Bright Fire.
She said she was a Mawakawan. Would she be like part of the original?
She was settlers? Human, wasn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, that just means she's like a native of the city.
Ah, okay.
And it doesn't mean she's got secret knowledge about her ancestral home.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, let me contact Leondale.
Anybody want to get in on this?
Sure.
To assist with ascending?
Yeah, Arcana.
Sure. I'll roll a d20 for you.
I got a 26.
Checking okay. here.
Sam adds 2. Rob adds 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So that's
30 so 30. Far.
21. Oh, hey. Not 20.
Oh, not 20.
Nice, because so I suck.
Oh, that's all right. You just have to beat a 10, Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So you helped. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8. So that is 34,000
mm-hmm.
miles.
Okay. So you guys all kind of gather up and hand Orym things as he casts the ritual. Mm-hmm. And as he is getting ready to finalize it, essentially he... goes down to a little circle he's drawn and is about to touch it to kind of initialize it. And suddenly at the circle right before he touches it, there is a kind of a thin metal rod, which then as Orym looks up, attaches to what appears to be an umbrella, which attaches to what appears to be the... person that you met a while ago, back when you were traveling through the other worlds or through the other vertices.
Mm-hmm.
This is the fourth oldest inspector.
Fourth oldest inspector.
Yep.
That's
nice.
So, just as a quick reminder, she is dressed to the nines, vest, spats, the whole deal, bow tie, little or umbrella. And her markings are just kind of these like little kind of like mime clowny looking cheek like blush, like perfect circles. She has a very short haircut. Behind her is a very rotund man who appears to be of the same species. He has a triangle over one of his eyes that, and then one on his chin. But you know, gray skin, silvery hair, very tall, very round, wearing a big backpack or carrying a big backpack, and has like really long, basically wearing this long tunic with really long sleeves to where you can't see his hands. They kind of like go over them. And he's just, whereas the fourth oldest inspector is standing very tense, he seems to be very calm. The fourth oldest inspector says, "Let's just wait 1 second before we proceed, shall we?"
Okay.
And the Queen's Rebellious Daughters are like, "Yep, see, I told you we'd hear again from my organization."
Hello.
So, I am guessing that you weren't successful, she says to the Queen's Rebellious Daughter, who kind of gives her a big shrug and is like, "I guess not. But given the time involved, it's almost like you expected me to not be successful and made your way here." And she gives her a similar, maybe mocking, comical shrug and says, "I guess that may have been the case. So what's the plan now?" And the Queen's Rebellious Daughter points, kind of like does this like circle point at everyone. It's like, "Oh, they're working on a plan right now." And she looks over at you guys that are all kind of gathered around the circle to cast a ritual, and then looks back at the Queen's Revelia's Daughter, like somebody just pointed out a bug over there, and then like looks back over and says, "No, seriously though, what are we going to do about this whole thing?"
"We are going to go get Lek back and destroy the machine."
I I mean, I have no evidence that that would actually work.
Which part?
What kind of evidence are you looking for?
I don't know. Do you have anything without all the bumbling?
I hand her some pods of casting.
You know, I'm just like really busy. And anyway, she like puts them in her pocket.
Don't worry. It's only our greatest hits.
Even those come with a fair amount.
Yeah, I know. That's like a bad idea. Your greatest hits like are like directly the result of bumbling.
Shh.
And if you have any more intelligence about where Lek is or where the machine is or the coil's operations that would help us create a plan that is less bumbling, we'd be happy to hear it. Perhaps if we work together as opposed to just you insulting us, we could actually do this.
She leans on her umbrella. Well, I didn't mean to insult you.
Yes, you did.
Agreed.
No, if I meant to insult you, I would have actually addressed you. I'm just generally vexed at your presence here because we have work to do.
You honestly expected us to leave my friend in the control of a mega guild thing trying to destroy the world and potentially others when we've saved the world, what, 3 times now?
At least.
I don't know that I expected that. My expectations of you are very low.
Well,
why? Just because we're, what, like, why do you have so little respect for us?
Because it really seems like at every turn you've actually managed to make things worse. And she holds up a finger to you, it really seems to me, turning to the Queen's Royal, etc., that this is all your fault because you keep involving them. And she's like, she just like shrugs and she's like, well, it's their vertex. Like, what do you expect me to do? It's like, I don't have any control over them. She's like, you could. Don't act like you don't. Don't act like you don't help them. And like, she turns to the other guy. And then she's like, kind of gives him a like, see what I'm dealing with here kind of motion. And he just shrugs.
I'm curious. You're an organization with great powers and you can do some truly amazing things that baffle even me. And I wonder why you haven't just taken a task force of your own, popped in where Lek is, popped out, done whatever you need to do. It seems like you could do that very quickly and easily, and yet almost a year has passed and not much has been done.
Well, it might surprise you to know that there are other crises that require our attention. We're actually a fairly small organization, but that is actually why I'm here. I knew that this wasn't going to get taken care of. I knew that all of you were just going to get in the way. So I'm here with the actual caseworker for this vertex to see if we can figure out what needs to happen next. And he shrugs and he's like, yeah, she wants to melt it.
Melt the whole vertex?
No.
Well, not the whole vertex, just the general area.
What?
Define general area.
Oh. You're all assets. They're all assets, right? And the queen's like, yep, also the bull, the bird, and the rat. Assets now. She turns around and they're like, we would get you out if she can do that. They've acided you down, but we'd basically have to wipe most of the what is this organization called? Most of the Salamander's Coils operations, which involves the city and whatever other facilities they have.
You're going to destroy the city.
If we have to.
Well. Wow. Okay.
But.
Then consider us fully at your disposal to do whatever it takes to not wipe out this city and the many, many, many people that live here.
All of whom are not working for the coil.
Well, I don't.
Not
I mean,
all of whom.
Not all of whom are working for the coil.
Look, this is something that threatens not thousands of people that live in the city, but billions of people that live across all vertices.
I know, and I understand that, and that's why I asked why something hadn't been done almost a year ago. And I know you said you were busy, but if this is such a big threat, it seems like...
Plus, if you're busy and understaffed, consider this outsourcing.
Yeah.
Well,
make us one of your agents. Full time.
Yeah. Clearly, we have a problem with our acquisitions department, and she motions to the Queen's Rebellious Daughter, who again just kind of shrugs. The guy scratches his chin a little bit and says, well, I'm willing to hear them out. I really don't want to have to melt it. You know, we haven't used that thing in a while, and I don't think it's as precise as we originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like, huffs and, like, kind of, like, smacks her cane or her umbrella against the ground a little bit. Like, you know, it's still, like... Still perpendicular to the ground, but she like taps the tip of it against the ground. And she's like, well, it's your vertex. And he just kind of waves at everyone. And he says, oh, by the way, I'm the Sagacious Orbit Pioneer. It's good to meet you all.
You too. Thank you.
Good to meet
you.
Sorry that I haven't been involved in this. Some things have come up in the Western continent. So I've been over there most of the time. It has been a while. And had not received a lot of memos about this. And she looks at both of the girls. So, you know how it is. Bureaucracy just tends to slow things down a little.
Oh, I know.
She kind of like walks over to him, or the fourth oldest walks over to him, says, look, like, I don't know why you want to indulge this whole thing, but they're not stable. They don't know what they're doing. They're so young. They don't understand.
And
they don't
you
know
do. I mean, we understand the stakes. We saw the other vertices. We know how bad the coil is. And apparently we know that if we fail, you're going to blow up this city and many of the people I know. So, yeah. We have no intention of failing a second time.
Look, you could not begin to understand what actually is at stake here, what we have found and what we know about what's happening.
All right, then go ahead and educate us.
Well, that's all classified.
So what you're saying is the
then
only way to defeat
level.
A bureaucracy is with a bigger bureaucracy?
She like looks up for a second and is like, actually, that's not a bad way of putting it.
It's a ridiculous way of putting it.
The Queen's Rebellious Daughter says, well, yeah, let's just tell them. I mean, if that's the problem, if the problem is that they don't know what's happening, then let's just tell them what's happening. And then, you know, if they're still in, then let's use them. I mean, it's stupid to not use any resources we have. And we have, these guys are great resources. They're funny. They're like, that one's smart.
Which one?
No, they've got a
point to.
She just kind of like pointed generally at like, the group.
I nudge Kit in the ribs and give a smile and nod. You know,
just side glance at Randus.
Like, this is entirely unusual. Not since the Dreamfolk crisis have we actually done anything like this. And she's like, well, you know, my assets, it's technically not illegal for me to do it. So I'm just going to tell them. She like looks past the fourth oldest inspector to the pioneer. And she's like, is that okay with you? And he shrugs and says, well, it's their vertex. And she was like, all right, where to start? Randus, do you have any sulfuroid powders?
Yeah, I think I can get some here. Hold on, assistant. Skitters out, hands me a vial. I hand it over.
Okay. Like, oh, nice.
Get ready to take some notation.
Yeah, settles down. she produces a tuning fork type device, taps it, and then as it begins to vibrate, she waves it over this kind of a dark brown powder, which begins to vibrate and turn kind of a jittery red color. Mm-hmm. She opens the vial and pours a bunch of it into the fire, which just roars out just in like this like blue and red and green conflagration. And then settles back down to kind of this like yellowish kind of golden pillar of smoke. She taps her tuning fork again and says, all right, well, it's story time.
Mm. Ooh, maybe we should break it there this week. Come back next week and hear a story.
Yeah. Story time.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening and sharing the podcast. Make sure you head over to iTunes if you like this episode and share some 5-star reviews. And as we've said many times, if you find some value and some fun in this podcast, maybe you want to support us a little or a lot. It doesn't matter. Head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Every little bit helps to make sure that we get this show out to you each and every week. So until next time, for D&D Brian and Rob and Sam and Matthew, Rodrigo, and myself, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.